customer service and training in this industry is absolutely paramount. It doesn't matter what you do with campaigns. It doesn't matter what how cool your branding is. What your brand truly is what your customers experience with those frontline employees.
This is the Box Office Podcast. I'm Daniel Luria, the editorial director of Box Office Pro, the pulse of theatrical exhibition.
And in today's episode, we are going to be talking to Brett King, the CEO of Cinetrain, an online training platform for cinemas to connect and better train their employees. That is coming up in the feature segment in the second half of this episode. But before we get there, I've got my colleague and friend, Romeo Duchesne from the Box Office Company, joining us here today to go over the latest forecasting figures that we are bringing in from our newly announced Box Office Forecasting Council. That is a group of industry executives that are now contributing to our box office forecasting on a weekly basis as we track every title on the market a year out. We will be talking a little bit about this coming weekend's releases and a little bit about a highly anticipated new release coming out in a couple of weeks. Romeo, it's great to have you back.
Hey, Daniel. Hi, everyone. Very nice to be here today, even though it's 8 a.m. in LA right now, but probably can hear it in my voice. But I'm still here to bring the French accent, Daniel.
I'm excited to hear, and I think everyone else is as well, because we have a couple of new wide releases coming out, limited-ish wide release, also on the genre side, to bring in. It's been slow going here after the opening of Civil War overperformed $25 million a couple of weeks ago. Last weekend's marketplace, I think, disappointed with a very underwhelming opening weekend from Universal's Abigail, proving to audiences everywhere that a child vampire that kills her kidnappers just isn't blockbuster potential these days. And I gotta tell you, I'm a little bit disappointed at that, but not as disappointed as the folks in exhibition that saw that movie open to 10.2 million last weekend. So let's keep this positive, Romeo. Let's look at next weekend. Abigail, none of us is predicting that to get anywhere near the top three. We've got a new opener here on the genre side, Boy Kills World, that isn't going to be in as many screens, I think, for it to be able to break into the top three. But we do have a new opener on the side of, I guess we have to call her a major star now, Zendaya. I don't know how I pronounce it. How do you pronounce Zendaya's name? I think it's different in every country.
Yes, Zoe Zendaya.
Oh, nice. Zendaya. I like that. We're going to mix it up every time we bring her up. Well, listen, she's coming off of the great success from Dune Part 2 earlier this year. She's got a new title here, a romantic drama about tennis, which in the world of comps always provides a little bit of difficulty for us as do forecasting. But we do have some early overseas numbers here from Challengers coming out from Amazon MGM that is being distributed in select overseas markets by Warner Brothers. It opened in Australia and New Zealand last weekend. How did it perform there, Romeo?
Yeah, it opened in Australia and in New Zealand. To start with New Zealand, it opened around $90,000 shy. Which is a great number because it's already more than a half of the cum of Call Me By Your Name in this market. But the bigger number comes from Australia with an opening around 600,000 shy reported, which is four times the opening of Bones and All and a little bit more than three times the opening of Call Me By Your Name. So solid figures from this market in South Asia. Regarding our trailer network, so I don't know if the audience is aware of that, but we have more than 100 different channels all around the world on YouTube, Facebook. But we do also have very popular B2C movie websites in those key markets, such as France, Germany, Spain, Latin America. And these figures from Australia and New Zealand are being confirmed on the trailer network side on key markets. It's way higher than Bones and All and way higher than Call Me By Your Name from the same director, Luca Guadagnino. So it looks like we're going to have a solid opening here in the US and in terms of number of upcoming showtimes already available online, so you can book the showtime. It's already the top title for next weekend here in the US with 24% market share in terms of showtimes.
Really? That's a big number here. So almost a quarter of all showtimes in the United States are currently being taken up by this title, Challengers, coming up this weekend. And the comps that you're bringing up here, Romeo, and it's important to say this, this is a hard movie to come up with comps with. The best way we can go about it is going to be through the director's prior films, Luca Guadagnino's Bones and All, which is more of a horror romance about cannibalism. Again, not a direct fit here. And Call Me By Your Name and LGBTQ, also love story there. So again, not a perfect comparison here. I think the star power Zendaya is going to make this a very different film. But with 24% of the showtimes, that tells you about the pre-sales on this title already that Exhibition is seeing. That tells you that this movie is tracking to be the top spot at the box office currently. Our official box office pro forecast has this opening between 10 and 15 million. So of course, this isn't blockbuster numbers here, but for a film from a specialty director with a major star attached, we do expect this to perform on the lower end, around the 10 million range. And on a higher end, 15 million, which would be, I think, a nice, good start for a title about tennis players in a love triangle, because we know that might be a hard sell without the star attached here.
For sure, Daniel. Personally, my forecast is on the upper level than from your range, so around 15 million, because I do think the Zendaya vibe is really, really something key here. And that's why I also compare it to Bones and All, because we had Timothée Chalamet at the time, and I can't just detach this little comparison, you know?
Yeah, no, not at all. And then you have her being in the Spider-Man movies, which, again, not at all the same type of film here, not the songs, at all the same type of budget.
But a very French thing I can say is that it's probably going to be, for sure, the lowest opening of Zendaya here in the US. Because if you can compare it with Spider-Man in June.
That is correct. It very well might be, but not reflective at all, of course, of her star power performance or the quality of the film. It's a different profile of a film altogether. So we have to have, I think, expectations that are more aligned to this director's other features, which are closer to the art house side of the world, although this might be very well a crossover film than on the A-list major studio side of the conversation. So that is our forecast for the number one film of the weekend. Going down to number two, another new opener here, Lionsgate, with a faith-based musical film. These faith-based titles usually have good potential, usually have a core audience. Unsung Hero coming out from Lionsgate. We are expecting an opening weekend between 5 to 10 million domestically for a number two finish. Romeo, what's your analysis on what we can expect from this title this weekend?
Well, internationally, it's difficult to say, because if I can compare this movie to I Can Only Imagine, I Can Only Imagine did 97% of its box office here in the US.
Yeah, no, these are very domestically driven titles. Yeah, overseas, it's always hard to export these movies.
Yeah, and word of mouth will be key, because when you look at the career of I Can Only Imagine, they only lost 20% box office on the second weekend, thanks to a 700 theater increase on the second weekend. So word of mouth after the first weekend will be absolutely key. And what I can see around our trailer tracking data is there is less appetite. So in terms of also upcoming showtimes, market share in terms of theater, it's going to be lower than Challenger. Not too far. It's going to be 21%. In terms of pre-sales right now, this is the movie that drives this very, very tiny upcoming weekend with 40% pre-sales.
And that's on a select number of markets that our parent company heads the ticketing pages for. So from this selection, I believe it's 7 of the top 30 circuits in the U.S. We have about 40% of those pre-sales for this weekend coming from Unsung Hero. Now, is that a reflection of nationwide performance? I'm not sure. I think it's more of a reflection of this audience niche, the faith-based audience niche, which has a very strong core following that will let a film open at a decent level. And you'll be able to walk out of there, I think, if you're a studio, with a nice little bit of profit. If you're a regional theater chain in a market where these faith-based titles perform, what you're telling me, Romeo, is based on the pre-sales numbers we're seeing, you can expect a nice turnout.
Yes, exactly. But like I said, the opening weekend will be key. The word of mouth will be key.
And then finishing up here, our box office podium in our forecasting, we expect that the third frame of the A24 dystopian drama, Civil War, we expect that to get anywhere between $4 to $8 million in this range. Civil War is already one of the top five highest earning films in the history of A24 on a domestic level. That's a cumulative total. We know that it recorded the highest opening weekend of all time for that distributor a couple of weeks back with a $25 million bow. It's a divisive film, Romeo. I think that can either help it or hurt it. We see it give it a boost at the box office last weekend with a number one finish when it wasn't clear if it was going to finish atop. It actually beat out three new releases to keep that number one spot in the market. And we're on opposing sides on this title. You texted me from the movie theater, by the way,
yes,
as you're watching this, saying, "Daniel, it's horrible. It's terrible. I can't believe I paid money to see an action movie. It's a movie about photojournalism." Romeo, I have to tell you, I saw it last week for the same reasons. I think it's one of the best movies of the year so far. I absolutely adored this movie. Yes, it's a bait and switch marketing campaign, but you're not getting the dumb action movie that was marketed. And maybe that some people right now really want to see. It's not the dumb action movie. It's not the reactionary 1980s, like Sylvester Stallone, Charles Bronson, like shoot 'em up flick. No, it's a brutally cynical, little, mean, nasty movie that does not please any audiences at all. This is probably as French as I get. That's the sort of movie I love. I love that divisive, alienating type of film. And listen, Alex Garland knows how to make that type of movie. This movie is a lot closer to Annihilation, which is maybe not the entertaining movie you want to see, but maybe a lot more difficult and a lot more interesting of a film than, let's say, an Ex Machina, that wonderful AI-driven, what is it, killer robot film that Alex Garland also directed. Maybe that's a slightly more of a mainstream film. The best way to compare this, I think, is in that lens. Civil War leans a lot heavier on Annihilation in the director's filmography than it does on the Ex Machina side. It is going to divide audiences, but I think we're seeing it at the box office. It's still working. It's still working. We do expect that to slow down this weekend with a range between $4 to $8 million in its third frame for a number three finish. But you never know. I mean, we were surprised last week. We'll see what happens this weekend. That is our weekend forecast for this coming weekend domestically. Now, I do want to preview another big title here. And this one, I am expecting something a lot more mainstream. From director David Leitch, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, we've got The Fall Guy. This is a Universal release that was already screened at CinemaCon to a very warm reception. Now, the people that have seen it have liked it, but the marketing campaign, man, our tracking is going up and down for this here on a domestic and overseas level. Romeo, what can you tell me about The Fall Guy after the release of its second full trailer online?
So before saying everything that I'm about to say, we are going to have a solid opening weekend with The Fall Guy early May. But the interesting story here regarding also the marketing campaign that we just talked about regarding Civil War is they released, Universal released the trailer to The Fall Guy, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And it's so interesting to see that among all our trailer network, all our B2C movie websites, the tracking before the trailer 2 was way higher than Bullet Train. And I'm comparing with Bullet Train because it was the same director also.
It's the same director, and I think it's a very similar film. Ryan Gosling and Brad Pitt, I think, have a similar appeal. It's an action comedy. There's a romantic element to The Fall Guy that Bullet Train didn't have that might widen the audience a little bit. But looking at the core audience and how much they're reacting to that romantic element in the film, it seems like that core audience was a little bit turned off by that.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Like among all our trailer network data, we can see that they lost a lot of ground compared to Bullet Train after the release of this trailer 2. Usually a trailer 2 is here to bring a snowball effect, and it's very clear right now that the snowball effect didn't happen on The Fall Guy. And when we look into the age demographics about who's watching the trailer, who's searching for the trailer, I was surprised to see that the women are 6 points lower than Bullet Train. So it looks like, one, Brad Pitt doesn't need a romance to bring women. And it looks like that the romance that they put so much accent on the trailer 2 of The Fall Guy didn't really pick up among the women.
course, these are factors that don't mean anything until we get a little bit closer to that release date. Those pre-sales start telling us a little bit more. This movie is going to be available in premium formats, Romeo. So I think, like you, I'm not sure on just how big it can open, but Bullet Train is a realistic comparison. Two IPs that probably aren't very well known, two A-list male actors heading the charge here, an action director that has a very light touch. This isn't a grisly, dark action film. This is, I think, a more lighthearted action flick. I think it's a classic summer-style movie that might not have the, let's say, the box office power or IP recognizability as one of the, I don't know, established IPs like the Marvels or Mission Impossibles that are out there.
Let's not underestimate that the key factor here is Ryan Gosling.
No, I think the conversation is more how high can it go, right? I think instead of driving or forecasting lower, maybe it is getting that ceiling slightly lower. And I think for our audience, we do have to go into a little bit more detail on this change that we're doing on the forecasting side as we bring in industry executives to provide a more inclusive and comprehensive approach to the way we're looking at upcoming releases. Romeo, you've got background in forecasting major titles on the studio side when you started out your career in France now.
Exactly, Daniel. Yes, I started working for Universal Pictures at the time. And since I'm also crazy about data visualization and stock market, I was, let's dig into that topic. And I realized at the time, 12 years ago, that we were not using a lot of data. There was a lot of manual entry and all the forecasts were mostly based on gut feeling. And I was like, gut feeling is key in the movie industry, but let's bring more data points so we can diminish a little bit this gut feeling so more people can do it and we can also see clearer in the data. And since then, I started doing that for Sony Pictures and then I joined you guys to develop business intelligence tools for all the studio in order to bring more transparency. And this is when we bring the Showtime dashboard, when you can check at the number of Showtimes in more than 70 countries around the world, tracking tools so you can track the organic search behind a trailer or behind a Showtime, meaning someone that is searching for your movie online and not clicking on any ad. And we saw a lot of box office correlation at the time. We started in France and this organic search was 84% correlated to the box office 90 days before the release. So we have so many surprises like this at the time. And I think that's what I love about this forecasting stuff. It's like we have to go on the treasure hunt and there's a lot to discover. And I was surprised to see that the movie industry in terms of data usage was basically 10 years behind the financial industry.
And that's evolving. I think you're absolutely right. It's being able to harness data to bring in insights. And to be very honest, I think a lot of the way the forecasting would work 10 to 15 years ago would be by bringing the latest message board champion. But that really doesn't apply to where the industry is today, especially after the pandemic. We're not interested in message board champions. They don't really add anything to the conversation. I think the more data you have, the more access points you have to data that professionals are using for key decision points. You mentioned organic search. You mentioned trailer views. You mentioned other industry resources. Our company, the Box Office Company, being one of the data leaders here in providing studios and social media platforms these data points, being able to harness that is something that you've been doing over the last 2 years here. We brought you over here to LA from France, where you started this project. And now as we better define this, we'll be bringing everyone on Box Office Pro Romeo's insights from our company's data points. And we will also be bringing you other insights from industry executives. We have suite executives from Exhibition contributing to our forecasting reports every week. And we've also got data points and insights coming in from partners in the premium large format space that have access to the influence that PLF is having at the box office. Because forecasting today is radically different than it was before 2020. The name of the game is data, and we are looking to partner with leaders on the data side to bring better insights to you, our listeners, and our readers on Box Office Pro. So thank you again, Romeo, for those insights. And we will be bringing you a lot more of that forecasting analysis in coming episodes of the Box Office Podcast, released every Thursday morning. But for now, we have to go over to our feature interview with Brett King, the CEO of Cinetrain, an innovative digital platform that is facilitating employee training in the cinema industry. It's a really cool and interesting technology. You can find out a lot more from that after the break.
And we're back here on the Box Office Podcast, finally back from an exhausting week in Las Vegas, where we were there for CinemaCon. Spoiler alert here, understanding that we were going to be exhausted by the time this week came around, Brett King and I, the CEO of CineTrain, decided to record this days before we ended up in Las Vegas, just to have as much work done for a recovery day in the early part of this week when you guys are listening. Brett, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Daniel. Thanks so much for having me.
Let's go into the concept of CineTrain. It's a company that I've been following for a number of years now. I've seen you at a number of conventions. Could you explain the concept of CineTrain to some of our listeners that might not be aware of the company?
Yeah, absolutely. So CineTrain is the entertainment industry's leading provider of employee training, onboarding, and engagement solutions. And we focus specifically in cinema, and we are starting to expand into, of course, dine-in circuits and then family entertainment centers as well. And our basic products, what we offer is we have a learning management platform. That's a cloud-based learning management system if you come from a different industry. We very quickly had to pivot away from LMS because there's already an LMS in the cinema industry. So we call ours an LMP. It means the same thing. So we have a cloud-based platform where we can host any and all training content. And then we also, what makes us unique is we've got a library of 60 to 70 customizable cinema and entertainment industry-specific training content modules. So we have not only the place to put it all and a few bells and whistles there, but we've also got the content and it's fully customizable to each circuit.
Now, it's a great concept. And again, I reiterate to those listeners that might not have been aware of CineTrain, it's not a train with a movie theater in it. I think that would have been a regular misunderstanding. I'll be honest, I saw that. That's how I want to travel. But no, it's actually a very, I think, intuitive, smart way of making training tools accessible and scalable for people in this industry, because you know how this industry is, Brett. You've been at it for a number of years here. There's a lot of turnover. There's a lot of young employees, seasonal employees. Training is one of those aspects where a lot of executive time and resources can be drained.
You're spot on. So hiring and turnover in general is very expensive. There's many studies out there that show that. And we know we're in a high turnover industry because, like you said, we're hiring young employees. So there's sort of this expectation that it's going to be a higher turnover industry and a higher turnover situation. And when we're not prioritizing and standardizing the way that we're onboarding, the way that we're training our employees, there's a lot of lost efficiency. And lost efficiency equates to cost, right? Versus if we have something in place, we're more efficient, so we're saving costs. We're also getting people up to speed a lot faster and contributing to our bottom line a lot faster. And then, you know, to your point, right? I mean, customer service and training in this industry is absolutely paramount. It doesn't matter what you do with campaigns. It doesn't matter what you know, how cool your branding is. What your brand truly is what your customers experience with those frontline employees. And if we're not prioritizing getting that specific messaging out there through our employees and having them be competent and confident in their roles, then we're missing an opportunity to really show who we are as a circuit and why they're, at the end of the day, bring people back more often.
It's one of those distinguishing factors in an industry that basically has the same product going through the screens. In many times and occasions, they have very similar or the same technology in the auditoriums. It's the one thing that can really, really set you apart, making sure that your frontline staff is equipped, prepared, and professional for that customer service. Now, of course, when we talk about hiring in this industry, I think there's a big before and after here. And that is, unfortunately, I'm going to use the word pandemic here. I hate looking back. But sure. It's been just, I think, night and day in terms of the challenges that staffing has been, staffing levels, training new staff, onboarding of everything that's occurred after the big reset, after cinemas finally reopened. What's been the biggest difference you've noticed, Brett, in terms of your clients using CineTrain in the way they used the service in 2019 versus 2021 and beyond?
Yeah, excellent question. So My answer is twofold. So the first that I think we all learned coming out of COVID and going through COVID is people are seeking experiences. And that part has stayed true. And it's more important now than ever to provide, as a movie theater or as a dine-in or as a family entertainment center, to provide a top-tier level experience, because that is what people are coming back for. As we know, people could, you know, through streaming, sit on their couch at home and watch the actual content, but that's not what they're doing. They're going back to the movies. When there's content, they're going. And it's for the shared experience. And so one thing we're seeing is, how do we train our team to create that wonderful, positive guest experience every time so that they don't go to the theater down the street, so that they come back to us? So that's one part, is seeing a reprioritization of customer and guest experience, because we as a people are seeking out more of these experiences. Now, on the internal side, post-COVID, what we've seen a lot of is a lot of turnover in higher level leadership management positions. So what that means is a lot of individuals who might have been on the front line are being promoted or even hired from outward in into leadership positions within these theaters. But there's one issue that many circuits kind of fall into, is just because somebody is a really great usher does not mean they have the skills that it takes to be a manager or a leader within the company. So the other huge trend that we're seeing is circuits that are leaning into soft skill and leadership development. So we have our advanced management program that really supports that. It's a thorough certification program. And we have seen a big uptick in circuits that are interested in that type of content, because they saw that kind of a mass exodus around COVID, and they're putting people in positions. We're kind of taking a chance on them and realizing we need to retool these individuals to do the job that they're now being asked to do.
And in terms of usage for any circuits or chains or even local cinemas that want to use CineTrain, what sets you guys apart from, let's say, the old school method of, you know, a Saturday afternoon with your new batch of hires? What are those advantages of going to use a platform like yours?
We enable our clients to really standardize the training process. So what you just described is what we come across often, right? Where, and you might have an amazing manager who's like the best trainer you've ever had. You might have somebody else on the team who does a so-so job. And you might have somebody who really doesn't belong training anybody. And it just happens, you know, to be whatever day people are scheduled, and that's how it goes. And so what a program like this does is it helps to standardize that entire process. And when I say that, what I mean is, we aren't just providing the platform and the content. We are also there as a partner to help with the rollout of the program as well. So we're not just leaving you at, you know, here's the content. We don't kid ourselves into thinking somebody can go through our online content and go work themselves an entire day at the theater. There's got to be in-person training, right? And so that's the other piece that we help to support, is bridging that gap to create a full blended learning program, so that you get away from having that game of telephone of, this manager's good, they might have taught very thoroughly, this other manager maybe didn't hit all of the points as well. So you kind of remove that wild card and have a more systematized, standardized way of training your employees.
Now, everyone in this industry will have their own way of doing things, right? Every manager, maybe every circuit, has a specific way they want to approach it. How do you work with companies to make sure that the way their brand does this is accurately reflected in the program?
Yeah, so that's one of the biggest things that I think sets us apart in really any market when it comes to training and development, is we have a full production team. So we customize this program to be specific to your theater, not only from a branding standpoint. So when your employees go to the site to access their training, it looks like it was made custom for you. But the content itself, operationally, how you do things, whether you call your guests or customers, right, down to little details like that, we customize the content to be exactly how you need it for your circuit. And then the other thing we do is, when you're signed on to CineTrain, updates are unlimited. So we're not nickel and diming when things change. You've been around the industry, Daniel, long enough to know that things change on a, what, hourly basis around here? You know, as far as what employees are being asked to do and everything else. So one thing we came out with very quickly is if you're a CenterTrain member and you have a, let's say, an update to a policy or a new deal that you put out there that's got a certain coupon and there's a certain way to ring it in, whatever it is, right? We're going to make those changes. That's part of what the license fees go toward. We're going to basically take that so that your training program always stays accurate. Because that's the other problem we see is a lot of, you know, a lot of these new clients that we'll talk to, they'll say, yeah, well, yeah, we have a binder. About half of it is outdated, right? And so it's like they're just sort of teaching their own ways and working their way through it. With our program, because we don't charge for those updates, your training program can always be 100% up to date. You know you're being taught the most up-to-date content.
And that's so important, like as you mentioned, in an industry that the technology changes consistently, the way you approach concessions, the way you approach customer service, your opening hours, all of these things are a constantly evolving factor here in our industry from season to season. Even we talk about the seasonality of employment, type of employees in the business. What do you think makes Cinemas unique in the training landscape than any other service-oriented job out there? Because it does have its own nuances and uniqueness to it.
Yeah, it certainly does. You're absolutely right. I think one factor is this is a cool industry to work in. And we can play off of that. And we're big on that. You know, we're big on having companies tell their story and tell the story of the industry and make new employees feel like they're working in the movie industry because they are. They're part of the movie-going experience. So I think there's one excitement factor that makes this industry unique when it comes to training, because you're able to really get people bought into something that is, I mean, let's face it, movies are cool. Like, this is a cool place to be and to spend our days. Daniel, you and I are lucky, right? There's a lot more boring stuff you and I could be doing. So I think there's that. I think there's the other factors that we touched briefly on is we're hiring a lot of first-time jobbers. Right? A lot of younger employees, a lot of younger talent entering the workforce for the first time. And we're not necessarily being as intentional in recognizing that's the case and in giving them the support and tools they need to come into the workforce. And as a result of just who is being hired, what jobs they're doing, right? Once again, another aspect of this industry that's unique is it is higher turnover. And that's natural. But that doesn't mean there's not things and efforts we can take to mitigate the amount of turnover and to improve our employee retention. But I'd say that is something that sets this industry apart is there's some lifers in here for sure. I don't want to make it seem like this is all a bunch of young kids. Like there are some lifers, right? And we can create career pipelines for those that want to stick around. But I think what makes this industry different is it is a lot of people's first job and they're sometimes just thrown right into the fire. And that's kind of a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it's always tough, right? You want to make sure you have your employees with all the tools they need to make their time in exhibition as long or as short as it is to make it as pleasant and memorable as possible. I think people that work in this industry always have a fond memory of working in this industry. That's why you have so many veterans and people that end up coming back. Now, you also have a podcast that you host here, Exploring Potential. You guys come out every other Tuesday with new episodes. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that connects with our exhibition ecosystem here?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I appreciate you asking about that. So the Exploring Potential podcast, yeah, it drops every other week on Tuesdays. And what we do is we have conversations. While we are highly bent in the cinema space, we also invite executives and higher level decision makers from outside of our industry to share their perspectives as well. The premise of the podcast is to really talk to business leaders, agnostic of industry, to find out strategies that are working for them that they can share with others and have those be takeaways. So there's a big bent on training, company culture, employee engagement, things like that. But we've talked about people analytics. We've talked about digital transformation. And like I said, on the guest side, we were, because of course, we're heavy in the cinema space and that's what I spend my days doing. So we're talking to a lot of leaders in the cinema space, you know, and getting really, really helpful tips. You know, it's cool to hear. I hear a lot of times some somebody, you know, from one circuit will say, hey, I heard so-and-so, the CEO of another circuit on your podcast, and I'm totally going to take that idea that he shared. And, you know, that's the point of the podcast, is kind of just having these casual conversations and like, hey, how are you handling this? Or how are you handling that? What's your perspective on this? And my biggest goal with the podcast is for people to walk away with tangible, actionable items that they can use to improve their business.
It's always important having valuable insights like that that you're bringing in here to our industry. So thank you so much, Brett. Before we go, are there any other things that are important to point out for our listeners, you think, in terms of what CineTrain can offer?
I would love to just plug a brand new feature that was announced just ahead of CinemaCon, and that is our dynamic checklist feature. And so what that allows you to do is, you know, a lot of people use checklists in training, things like that. This is digitizing the checklist. One unique piece is we can put links on each task item on a checklist that takes them directly to a document or a video in our resource center or in the client's resource center. So if somebody doesn't know, you know, sweep the floors, clean the walls on the opening checklist, right? They can go right there to the resource center and say, this is exactly how I need to do that. And then there's an accountability factor to our dynamic checklist where managers, district managers, corporate office can view all of the submissions. And so there's kind of a quality control over, you know, what's being done. So really excited about that feature.
Brett, thank you so much for joining us here on the Box Office Podcast.
Thanks for the time, Daniel.
And that was Brett King, the CEO of CineTrain, here on the Box Office Podcast. Earlier, you heard from my colleague, Romeo Duchesne from the Box Office Company, talking to you about the latest insights and new methodology we are incorporating into our box office forecasting. I am Daniel Luria from Box Office Pro, and on behalf of everyone here on the Box Office Podcast, thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.